Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth. You've got the home of the truth. Back to The Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Our next guest grew up in the great state of Oregon. She's now working in Florida for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as the digital operations coordinator for the Buccaneers. She's hanging out with Tom Brady. She got her start, though, one of her starts, on this radio program. Here to talk about it, Amy Schwartz joining us. What does a digital operations coordinator do?
So a digital, first off, hi.
Hi.
How are you?
We're doing well.
Okay. I am the digital operations coordinator, so that means I run the team website. Any roster moves we do, any releases I cover, as well as I'm a digital contributor. So I do some writing. I run our press conferences, pretty much a little bit of everything.
Are you doing any social media work, or is that someone else's gig?
We have another girl who does that, but I mainly run our YouTube for the social side of things.
Do you have to, like, this can help us all. So many questions here. Do you have to really think about what you're posting, saying, doing, because you realize a mistake at that level is a bad one?
Yes. I mean, every single day you're thinking about, you know, how many different ways can someone twist that to be either inappropriate or violent or anything like that. So everything we put out goes through a lot of eyes. And I mean, we've seen some people get caught up and one wrong word can mean the wrong thing. And
yep,
it's definitely a new world we're living in.
We're talking to the Schwartz, Amy Schwartz joining us. Do you miss this show? Do you miss working here?
Of course. I mean, I was talking to my parents this morning, and you know, it's where I got my first start and got to kind of be thrown into a lot of different avenues, and no one calls me the Schwartz anymore either, So obviously miss that too.
Anytime you need it, you just call into the show. We'll make you feel like it's home. Before we get into all this other stuff, like Tom Brady is a part of this Buccaneers franchise. Like, him going away, coming back, mm-hmm. Then the TV thing. What do you make of it all?
You know, I really just make of it that this is a guy who is going to be competitive until his last breath. Everything he does is a competition. Our quarterback's coach was saying, you know, he called and sent pictures of my house is cleaner than yours, and I'll bet you on it. And I just think that this is a guy who felt like his hand was pushed a little bit, needed a decision before he was ready, and ultimately realized, I can't give it up yet.
How did that go on your end? Because I think the minute he makes the decision to come back, like, all eyes turn to you and go, all right, what do you got on the website? Like, how fast do you respond to news like that?
So we have the weird waiting period of everything has to be confirmed. Every I has to be dotted and T crossed. We had, even after he put the tweet out, it had to be confirmed, which is crazy. But, you know, you never know if you get hacked one day or something. But it's pure chaos. I was at a restaurant when it happened. And, I mean, I don't go anywhere without my computer. So, You know, go running out of the restaurant and the game is back on, ready to have some more fun.
We're talking to Amy Schwartz. She's working with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as the digital operations coordinator, former staff member on this show, native Oregonian, one of four sisters. Did you wish your mom a happy Mother's Day?
I did. I was with her. But yes, I wish her a happy Mother's Day.
Is mom and dad, are they living in Florida with you? Did you bring them with you? What's going on here? This is like you made it in the NFL. You buy them a house or what?
Oh, no. So it's, maybe I should tell people that story. But no, I actually was in a weird period of life and they moved out here and I said, okay, I'm going to go with you guys. And the Bucks job just kind of came after that. I was
Oh, wow.
kind of in between things and just feel like this is where my path was supposed to lead.
For people who have never worked for an NFL team, give us an idea of, you know, because it sounds super glamorous, and I have friends, too, who think I just hang out at games drinking beer and eating hot dogs, mm-hmm. but it's not how it goes down. But give us an idea what it's like to work on a team and how it seems like it's a massive operation, especially that team with the profile it has.
It is. You know, I always tell people that it's not what you expect. I went to an event at our stadium last week, and I didn't realize how much we charge for beer because I've never had one at a game. But it is, it's such a big collaborative event. It's so different than anything I've ever done because I've always been an outsider reporting on a team. And now being on the inside is so different because, you know, your whole job is protect the brand, protect the players. And, it's interesting. You learn a lot and you can't say a lot at the same time.
Yeah.
But I honestly love it. It is a big operation, but it's honestly very an intimate operation. We only have 150 business people and then the team. So, you know, you're walking down the hallway and someone walks by, they know your name, they ask about your family. So it's a really cool experience, but it's completely opposite of anything I've ever done.
Give me an idea. You know, I'm not going to ask you who's a nightmare, but who's a joy to work with? Like, you know, from the player standpoint or coach standpoint, who will you really miss someday when they retire or go away or you leave the franchise?
I mean, the easy options are, you know, your Mike Evans, your Levante David, because they're cornerstones of this franchise and have been when this team was awful. But my first year I was here, a couple months into it, we had the NFL draft, and our first draft pick was a big old tackle, Tristan Wirfs. And I always tell him, I'm like, we have a special bond. You were my first kid, because he was the first one drafted, and just watching him thrive. One of those guys says yes to everything. He, I think at one point during his Super Bowl season had one sack of Tom that was his fault. And the guy was like crazy. He was like emotional and felt bad about it. He's like, this is your rookie season and you just only let one all season. So he's just one of those guys I've always been a root for and a joy to work with.
Amy Schwartz is with us, works with the Buccaneers now. You may know her from her time in the state of Oregon. I want to take you through like some of the things that you covered here. You were on the Blazers beat for a while. Are you surprised at what has happened with the Blazers organization, or does it make sense to you given what you saw in covering and reporting about the team?
Honest answer, doesn't shock me at all. I think that the leadership in place for a while there led to things. I think the writing was on the wall for a while, and I think there's a lot of kinks that need to be worked out for that team to be what it once was.
You know, I remember you being part of the staff here, and, you know, you kind of, the thing that strikes me about you, Amy, is you were never afraid. You were fearless. And even when you probably didn't know what you were getting into, you went and covered teams and you covered things and you did a great job covering from Oregon State to Portland State to the Blazers and whatnot. What are your memories of being in this state and kind of the foundation for the career you've now embarked on?
I mean, probably the biggest thing would be the fact that you sent me to cover the Blazers, and I was 17 years old. Didn't know anything. I was shaking in my boots when I walked in there, and that, honestly, I go back to a lot of stuff I learned then and has just really pushed me, and I think that, honestly, that whole experience shaped me more than anything. I think being at Oregon State was really beneficial because I was covering everything. I covered softball, I covered track, I covered whatever they wanted. And that daily grind of being around people and trying to find what that story is a challenge unlike anything other I've experienced.
Yeah, and I go back to that time, you know, when we sent you over there. It was more about you. I saw somebody who had shown some initiative and some ambition. I didn't really care what the Blazers thought, but I was really curious to see how you, being so young, would walk in there and cover them. And I know the Blazers organization thought, like, what are they doing sending her over here? But I think it became evident pretty quickly how talented you were, what a good reporter you were, and I think, you know, it helped you build some confidence being around pro sports.
It did. I feel like I have relationships from those days still that have helped me so far along the way. I mean, I come in contact with people now from those days, and that really set the foundation for my entire career.
Amy Schwartz with us now with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I see you have a bunch of internships available, and you tweet about it all the time, like, you know, hey, there's opportunities. For people, for young people who are listening, Amy, what advice do you give them if they want to work someday for a pro sports team, or should they run the other direction? Like, what do you say?
You really have to love it if you're going to do sports at all. This year I will be working on Christmas Day, and I'll be working on New Year's Day, and I'll be working on Thanksgiving. But that's a sacrifice I'm willing to make for my career. And it's one of those things, you can never half be in it. You have to fully be in it. And there's a lot of sacrifice, but at the same time, there's so much reward. I would really tell people to take every internship possible and use it like it's a job, because, I mean, I feel like I've done that along the way, and it always pays off.
Ndamukong Suh was around you with the Buccaneers. Obviously, you guys both had connections to the state of Oregon. Did you guys ever talk about that? Hey, I know what you know, or I know some of the spots you know.
Briefly, one huge thing was just the COVID thing. You know, you're not having a ton of interaction, but he knew, and, you know, between him and Kenyon Barner and having those Oregon connections, I always felt like those guys have looked out for me. And if you need the favor, they'll help you do the piece of content nobody wants to do. But yeah, there's definitely that tie that you know where my home is, I know where your home is, you know, that special connection.
How often do you get asked for tickets by people who really don't know that you're not in charge of tickets?
Every day, honestly. Sometimes I made a joke about it. I'm like, you know, at this point, should just start buying extra and handing them out to people, because it's a lot. It's always last minute to the request, but I'm used to it at this point.
Amy Schwartz is with us. All right, correct me if I'm wrong. You own a home, you have a dog, you got a full-time job. You're all grown up.
All except the dog. The dog is the family dog, but yeah,
okay.
The rest are accurate.
All right, yeah, you're not. You probably could you have a dog, but given the work demands, would that be difficult?
No, there could not be a dog still living if I had one.
You'd be like, well, nobody's checked on the dog for 3 days. I've been at the office.
Yeah.
All right, so give me an idea. What's busy time for you? When does it ramp up for the digital operations coordinator of the Buccaneers?
So with this offseason and, you know, switching coaches, having the Tom stuff, like, we really haven't slowed from season at all, just because there's been so many unexpected events. But really, things lock in loaded about July 25th when we start camp, and then we're off for another season at that point.
You've got to pace yourself. You got to relax a little bit. I'm speaking to you because at 17, you were like a 30-year-old going into the locker room. So make sure you pace yourself, Schwartz. I don't want you burned out, like, come training camp or season opener, and you're like, I haven't had a day off. We don't want that.
No, I'm taking vacation this week, actually. My best friend from college is coming from Oregon to visit, so
Oh, wow.
I'm taking time.
Is she going to end up living in Tampa?
So everybody I have visit, I actually kind of persuade. I had another friend here last weekend that looked at houses by the end of her visit, so fingers crossed.
See, this is what happens. You go visit the Schwartz, you end up staying in Florida. Okay, so head coaching change. Bruce Arians is out. Todd Bowles is in. Did you like Arians? What was he like?
I did. He is going to give it to you straight every time. He's not going to sugarcoat it. But one of the most respectful guys you'll ever be around, a total advocate for minorities, women, in sports and is always that person that's going to go the extra mile for everyone around him. So he was great.
All right. I love it. I am proud of you. You're kicking butt. I had no doubt you would. I think you've done great things. And every step of the way, we can't wait to see what you do next. You're going to end up as a president of a sports franchise someday, Schwartz. I will not be surprised when Amy Schwartz is named president of some NFL team or Major League Baseball team or NBA team. So on your way. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you for everything you've done for me as well.
Oh, we did nothing. We just sent you in there and you kicked butt. Come on. That's how it went. But you know what? But we're not visiting you because I don't want to end up living in Florida. So Anna and the girls and I, we will wave from a distance. But I don't know. I don't think Florida is my groove.
We won't make you pay to go to Disney World again.
Oh man. Do you go?
Suckered yeah. into that.
I know. $800 for It's a Small World in the teacups. I don't know what's become of us. So. Schwartz, yeah. Thanks for all you did on the show, and keep kicking butt. For people who want to follow the Schwartz, you can do it on Twitter at the Amy Schwartz. She's a good follow. Amy Schwartz, thank you.
Thanks.
There she is, the Amy Schwartz. Judah, were you around when the Schwartz was on the show or part of the show?
I don't remember working with her directly, but I was here at the station while she was doing her stuff as well. She was good, really good.
We might have broke some laws sending her in there at age 17 and getting her credentialed for a game and having her work. Anna, you were around. You saw the Schwartz quite a bit. She kind of did a little internship, did she not? That was a little bit you, a little bit me. She was job shadowing some.
Yeah, and I just love a kid like that who is full of questions and willing to learn and willing to work hard. I mean, you heard it right there. You know, she's got everything that it takes to be successful. She's willing to make the sacrifices. And I think that's good advice that you gave her, that, you know, self-care is important because we don't want her burning out at like age 35.
Yeah, I want to be able to take credit for her when she's a president of a team. So we need to get her there. And I can be like, well, she got her start back on this show once upon a time. I'll have a bunch of buttons on my jacket. I'll be that squirrely old guy hanging out at the stadium. No, I just think, like, her dad and mom, incredible influences, and her sisters. One time I saw all the Schwartz girls together. There were four of them. They were like those Russian dolls. They were just, like, in progressively taller, you know, by age or whatever. And her dad, you know, had these inventions. He was an interesting character, too. I remember that. And but she just worked hard. And I remember when we sent her in there because, you know, the Blazers were mad at me at the time. And this kind of coincided with me criticizing Neil Olshey and the Blazers and saying their culture was broken and this is a franchise going nowhere. And, oh, you know.
Oh, yeah, you were so
sadly,
wrong about that.
Sadly, none of that came true. Yeah. But it, we sent her in there and she would go to all the games.
Yeah.
And I remember a couple of the Blazers executives, when they saw me, going, you know, is she like your mole? Like, are you sending her in here to gather information for you? And I really wasn't. I just said, you know what? She wanted to cover, you know, she was at covering Portland State.
Right.
Okay. She wanted to cover something bigger.
Yeah.
And I said, we'll send you into the Blazers locker room.
Mm-hmm.
And I was half expecting she'd come back and go, I'm not ready for this. And she might not have been ready for it. But damn it, she went in there and she acted like she faked it till she made it kind of thing. Fake it till you make it. And she started turning out like really good reporting and breaking news. And all of a sudden she had a little following. And then she went to cover Oregon State. And I got to give a shout out to Angie Machado, who, you know, believed in her and had her covering Oregon State for a little while, working on that Beaver website, and I think it's Beaver Blitz is what it is, and she has done her, and I was not surprised when she ended up with the Buccaneers, that she had kind of graduated into, this is what I want to do, I want to work on the team side of things.
It made me so happy to hear her, you know, offer advice to people that are even younger than her, because she's still so young herself. But I remember her job shadowing with me at a TV station and just having conversations with her about what it takes to succeed in the world of broadcasting and media. And really, the best advice that I could give her, and I heard her repeat it, was when you get an internship, treat it like it's a job in every way. Show up dressed like you belong. Don't show up slouchy. Don't show up like it's just an internship. Treat it like you are an employee of that workplace, because guess what? If you treat it that way and if you present yourself that way to your coworkers and the people above you, then they will most likely see you that way and eventually forget that you're just an intern, and the likelihood of you getting hired at that place of employment is that much higher.
That's good advice. Leave it here. You got the BFT.
To the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Coming up on Friday, Oregon State's Board of Trustees, they're going to meet on Friday to determine who are the finalists for the Oregon State presidency vacancy. F. King Alexander was let go. It was very public. I was not happy with F. King Alexander. I think it was an F. King disaster that Oregon State's Board of Trustees. What? You don't like that?
Just shaking my head. Just, you know.
I did that for my own amusement.
Yeah, okay? We all heard it, though.
Yeah, but there's only so much I can say on air. The FCC gets mad at me. So any chance I can tiptoe right up to that line, I'm tiptoeing.
It kind of begs it,
yeah.
The name.
So the Board of Trustees will meet Friday to determine the finalists for the OSU presidency, okay? But as part of the search, I'm told that the board has engaged a independent contractor that will conduct comprehensive background checks of the finalists. They will also, Human Resources Office is also doing it, and they are doing it, they say, as a recommendation after the review of their last presidential search process. Basically, they didn't Google F. King Alexander, and they found out later that that was a bad idea. Google! Throw a little Google in there. So they're doing a background check. Anna, is this a good thing or a bad thing?
Background check for a position like that? Yes, good thing. Good thing. Thumbs up.
So they're hired a firm to conduct background checks of the candidates. So this is good. I think this is great. Judah, do you have any reaction to that? Do you trust the Board of Trustees at Oregon State to do this right?
Yeah, I do. I do. I don't know who makes up the Board of Trustees, except for, I think, you know, I could be wrong about this. I think Lamar Hurd is involved with it, or
I don't know if
he
still is. He was when they made let me look at the Board of Trustees real quick, but they have sort of term limits. And so what happened last time is they had a whole bunch of people on the Board of Trustees that had expiring term limits. And so I don't know. Let me look at who's currently on it. He may have been held over because I don't think he was one of the ones that had been on there a long time.
You're not on it, of course.
No. You know what? If I were,
they should call you as a consultant.
I would just say, come on, let's Google.
Yeah. Let's,
you know?
Well, and that's the thing. Like, we talked about it at the time, but Ed Ray going out, and Ed had his own personality, you know, especially when it came to sports and his own reputation. I think Oregon State got really, really excited when someone of the caliber and the just strictly professional resume when it comes to achievements of F. King Alexander wanted to pick them. You know, it's that dynamic. It's almost like, oh, really? The LSU guy wants to come here? I can't believe it.
Right.
And we're like, pause. Pause for a second and examine even deeper. You know what's even funnier is, and it's not really funny, that's the wrong choice of words, when he did his interview with you, John, he came on the show, he was pretty likable. Talked about his mom, talked about the influence she had in his life, talked about how much of a student athletes are the priority. He goes and he practices with them. He plays pickup basketball with them, like he's a man of the people. And, you know, it's just another stark reminder that's like, eh, like Anna pointed out earlier with social media, you know, you are what you choose to put forward into the world, but it's not necessarily the reality of what lies underneath.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I wondered at the time, I remember writing this early, was he running from something or running to something? Anna, you've been an investigative reporter at a high level. You have covered murder cases and fraud cases and all sorts of things. When you are investigating something as a reporter, are there red flags, or do you get like a feeling when you go to do something that something's not quite right? You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's measured by the reaction that people have when you start poking around and asking questions. The more defensive that they get, the more they begin to shut down on you, how quickly they lawyer up on you, you realize that you've probably hit on something. And it just prompts you to dig even deeper and invest more time into that story because you realize you're onto something.
Yeah. And you also have done stories on people who have been ripped off.
Yeah.
And is there a certain mentality of the person who does fall prey to scams and, you know, whether it's a financial scam or a romance scam or somebody, you know, are there markers? You know, are they isolated people? Are they older people? What kinds of things should our audience be on the lookout for?
No, it really spans the gamut because there's all different kinds of fraud. There's elder fraud, and in my opinion, that's the absolute worst.
Yeah.
Is to take advantage of people simply because they're older and may not understand the system or the technology and have a higher level of trust. But the common denominator in people who wind up being scammed is they're generally really good people who believe the best in other people and don't think that the scammer could be the kind of person that would rip them off. And so there's just that level of trust that they have that, you know, people who are more skeptical and cynical aren't taken because of that.
Yeah. So I think also, too, if you have elders in your circle, like I tell my parents, tell me if this is good advice, Anna, like if it's too good to be true, it probably is. Don't click on things if they're emailed to you. Like if you get a phone call, I always assume it's a scammer.
Yeah.
You know, until like one time I had the bank that called me and they wanted to check some info with me.
Right.
And it said it was the bank.
Right.
I believe like 90% sure when I got the call it was the bank.
Yeah.
But I wasn't comfortable. Like, she immediately asked me for my date of birth, my social security number, and I said, you know what? I said, I don't think so.
Yeah.
You know, I'll call you back.
I think people are wisening up to that, but I still think there's a lot that slips through the cracks. So, like, yes, if you have not initiated that call and someone is calling you and asking you to disclose sensitive information like that, you always have the right to call them back and say, well, look, I would rather call the main number that you can find if you Google it, and route yourself to that if that's really information that they're trying to verify. You can initiate the call to ensure that the person on the other end is who they say they are.
Yeah, I picked up a call the other day. It was clearly somebody who was trying to scam. Is it a bad idea for me to answer?
Yes.
If I know? Why?
Because
why?
You've just verified that that's a good number and somebody's going
to
pick up.
You know what I did to him? I talked in a hushed voice, like, and I said, I'm really old. I'm really old. I don't know what I'm doing. And, oh, you could hear the delight in his voice. I wish I could have recorded it, played it back on air. And then I just started yelling at him. I was hoping he was on a headset.
Was that cathartic for you?
I don't know, but our 6-year-old, she was playing her video game.
Yeah.
She stopped playing her video game, and she just stared at me while I was talking to this person, saying, I'm really old. I don't know what I'm doing.
As you put on one of your many characters.
But part of what I thought was if I could keep this guy on the phone, I'm keeping him from calling someone else.
Yeah, okay.
You know?
All right. Okay.
Maybe he was stealing my voice so he could make, like, you know, voice authorizations.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But he was stealing me in character.
Well, as long as you got some joy out of that.
I did get a little bit of joy out of it.
Yeah, I know.
I wish that were a job.
Yeah.
Just mess with scammers.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a good job. Mm-hmm. Leave it here.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald-Faced
Truth. Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald-Faced Truth radio show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald-Faced Truth radio show. Thanks for listening.